speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
The final statement in the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew 7, verse 28 and 29, it came to pass when Jesus had finished these words, the multitude were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. We'll not take time this afternoon to explore all the implications of the statement that Jesus taught as one having authority, but I want to draw some simple lessons which I hope will be of benefit to us. It's significant that whenever Jesus taught and wherever he went, the crowds of people who gathered around him were impressed by a number of things about him, but here they were impressed by the authoritative approach that he brought to the teachings of the will of God. Now, he was not dictatorial in his teaching. He did not present the will of God in such a way as to cause people to reject it because of his manner of presentation. But Jesus gave the will of God, and he gave his own teachings in such a manner that it was obvious to the hearer that what this man had to say was eternally important. So when Jesus gave commandments, there were always some people to obey those commands. One of the commandments that Jesus gave repeatedly to different kinds of people in different cities and different villages was the command that he is the Son of God and was to be followed by people. He described himself as the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, verse 6. And he indicated that he was the only way that men could be back in a right relationship with God. For he said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. And I'd like for us to draw some lessons this afternoon about different places in the New Testament. Two in Matthew, and if time permits, two in the Gospel of John, where Jesus gave commands to people to follow him. Now, the first of these I'd like for us to notice is found in Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The incident being described here is a time when Jesus questioned his apostles concerning his identity. And they replied to his question that people from all walks of life in all parts of Judea and Galilee had considered him to be different individuals. But when they were asked concerning who they thought the identity of Jesus was, Peter replied that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And a blessing was pronounced upon Peter and the apostles for their understanding of this great truth. And then there followed the promise by Jesus to build his church, and the statement that the gates of Hades could not keep him from building his church. Then Jesus began to show his disciples and to his other hearers that he must go to Jerusalem. There he would be tried. There he would be killed. But on the third day he would be raised again. Now the apostles objected, saying, Lord, this cannot come to pass. But Jesus said to Peter, who had also raised the objection, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art become a stumbling block unto me. And it's in that context that he gives the words that we read a moment ago. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, this might be called the command of consecration. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. A call to consecration. Now, consecration is a word, I think, that's foreign to most people of our day. For most of us, there are not too many causes to which we're completely, without reservation, consecrated. Most of us have a wide range of interest. We're more interested in some things than we are in others. There are some things we get all excited about. There are some things that we just do not have any interest in whatsoever. That just information passes in one ear and out the other. But how many are there in your life that have called for a degree of consecration that would cause you to literally deny yourself, to take up any cross, and to completely serve to fully be in that cause. Now, when a man does that, he may be branded as a radical, he may be branded as a fanatic, but that kind of label notwithstanding, Jesus says this is what is expected of those who would dare to be his followers. When Jesus says that men ought to deny themselves, he does not mean that men ought to forget themselves, nor that men ought to even forget how worthy they are or how important they are in the sight of God. Now, there's a big difference between selfishness and self-concern. There's quite a difference between elevating oneself on such a high place that self becomes all important and understanding that I am so important that God loved me enough to send his only begotten son to die for me. God says that I am important. Jesus said that I am important enough that he was willing to give his life in exchange for mine. And I dare not come and say in contradiction to God in Christ, well, I'm a nobody, I'm not very important. That's a false modesty at best, and maybe a kind of sickness at the worst. Now, Jesus says that I am to deny myself of those things which will interfere with my relationship to God. I'm come to that point in life where I learn not to put self first, but to put Christ first. I'm to come to that point in life where it is not my goals and my ambitions and my objective and my wishes and my desires, but it's God's plan and God's purpose for me. Those are the things that really count. And Jesus says here, as he does in several places, follow me. But he surrounds those words with this concept of self-denial and the elevation of God in Christ and the taking up of the cross, the consecration. And then just a few pages further, over in Matthew chapter 19, we come to verse 21. And here we have another admonition. Follow me. The context here is Jesus' conversation with a man whom we know is the rich young ruler. This man was rich. He was a young man. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was interested in divine things. He had a question for Jesus. What good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus gave him the answer. Keep the commandments. The man said that he would not be guilty of violating any of those commandments, that he had kept them from his youth up. But he still recognized that there was something missing, there was something lacking. And so he framed the question, which has provided the basis for many a sermon, what lack I yet? Jesus gave him the answer. If thou wouldest be perfect, go, sell that which thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. This command to follow Jesus might be called here a command of dedication. This man is being challenged to dedicate everything that he is and everything that he has to the service of God. As you sow, so shall you reap. And the Bible says this man had great possessions, and he was not willing to part with his possessions. He was not willing to be obedient to the Lord. He was not ready to dedicate everything he had and everything that he was to the Lord. And what a mistake the man made. The mistake of all mistakes. And one that's made in our day of being interested in God and interested in Christ, interested in heaven, interested in eternity, but only with a small portion of one's material blessings. You see, we want to compartmentalize things. There's the compartmentalization of life that has robbed this young ruler of his ability to keep the commands of Christ. And that same problem robs many a man and woman of the opportunity to spend eternity with God. It's a tragic and a fatal mistake to think that God will accept partial service. He's not satisfied with a few hours of the day or a few hours of the week or a few dollars from our abundance. And yet we go on thinking that he's satisfied. We come up with a whole creed of doctrines and dogmas, unwritten in most cases, but real nonetheless, to build fences around the Lord's money and the Lord's time and the talents and the abilities, when it ought to be simply, here am I, Lord, everything I am, everything I expect to be, everything I have is dedicated to you, to serving you, to worshiping you, to glorifying you, to honoring you. And yet, so to speak, when the whistle blows on Sunday, the switch is flipped. Now I'm on my own time, doing my own thing, my own way, my own money. It's my way now. But Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, you will have to learn to dedicate everything that you are and everything that you have to God. And when you've learned to completely and without reservation be God's man, you're ready to accept the commandment to follow me. In the book of John, there's another place where Christ says, follow me. In John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. This might be called the passage that deals with identification. When Jesus commands us to follow him, we obey that command, we become identified with him. No way to hide that identity. No way to keep it a secret. No desire to keep it a secret. I'm consecrated to Christ. I'm dedicated to Christ. Now I'm identified with Christ because I'm his. You see, I've obeyed the gospel of Christ. I've repented of my sins. I confess that he's the Christ. I've been baptized into him. I've become a new creature in Christ, identified with him. The question today, my friend, are you following Jesus? They were astonished at his doctrine. He taught them as one having authority. Indeed, he does have all authority. Have you submitted to that authority of Christ?